I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo! And welcome to The Fix. The realest and the blackest sports show you have ever heard in your whole entire life. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and for the next hour, an hour and a half or so, make sure you ride with me as we talk about sports from the black perspective. There are a lot of voices out here in this world, a lot of media voices. And most of those voices are not our voices. Most of those voices don't represent us and our community and how we talk about sports and how we feel about sports and how we think about sports and how sports really affect us and our livelihoods. Because, hell, most of the sports that you watch full of black people. But most of the people who shape the ideas around sports are white people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I control my part of the narrative. So here's The Fix. And remember, The Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, which brings African history to your fingertips. And by and what they mean by that is On the Shoulders of Giants brings, they tell the story of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And they do it through their On the Shoulders of Giants book series, blog series, YouTube channel, African history curriculum app, as well as coming, doing educational classes, plays, movies, all types of things that On the Shoulders of Giants does. So if you want to learn more, go to www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants itself. Or you can visit www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. Of course, you know we're on the Freedom Train Network. Right, so The Fix is a part of the Freedom Train Network. So to learn more about The Fix and the Freedom Train Network, make sure you visit www.freedomtrainradio.com any day, anytime. That way you can learn more about the Freedom Train Network itself, the Freedom Train podcast series, as well as The Fix, the realest sports show you've ever heard in your life. Hey, you can follow me, Joseph Ward, and The Fix on Twitter at JoeWard84. You can follow the Freedom Train itself on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You can follow the Freedom Train on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. You can like the Freedom Train's Facebook page. You can subscribe to the Freedom Train on YouTube. Or you can even subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast series or The Fix on iTunes or Google Play. And that way you can keep in touch with everything we got going on in the Freedom Train family and under that umbrella. Enough of that. It's time to get into it. Let's talk about some sports from the black perspective. So, you know, I always start off with my HBCU spotlight. So, today, our HBCU spotlight is going to North Carolina Central University. And this one kind of hurts me because North Carolina Central University earns its 17th straight conference win over and when they defeated Florida A&M University this past Thursday night here in Tallahassee at Bragg Memorial Stadium. So that's why that hurts me because Bragg Stadium, man, we grew up in Bragg Stadium. And North Carolina Central University came in with the win. They got a late touchdown to get to seal the victory, 21-14 on Thursday night. It was a hard-fought game, low-scoring affair, hard-fought game. But North Carolina Central University pulled it out in the end. So they go to 3-1 on the season and 2-0 in the MEAC. They had 130 total rushing yards in the game and only held FAMU to 73 yards. They had a total of 110 passing yards, even though FAMU had 185 passing yards. So, like I say, shout out to North Carolina Central, 17 straight conference wins. So that means that if they continue to rack up conference wins, they could potentially be the MEAC champions, even though they will still have to beat BCU. And BCU has been, you know, BCU, South Carolina State, North Carolina A&T, but I know BCU and South Carolina State have been pretty dang on good in the MEAC in the last couple of years and kind of reigning. You know me, like I said, I'm a Rattler, and I'm used to FAMU winning the MEAC. I'm used to FAMU dominating the MEAC. I'm used to the 90s. I'm used to the Rat Boys. I'm used to all of that that go down to FAMU. So it kind of hurt me to talk about this, but it's all good, though. It's all good. Some of the highlights is Devontae Reynolds, who's a junior that plays safety. He had four tackles, and he had a 31-yard pick six that scored North Carolina Central University's their second touchdown with a pick six. Hey, man, you know, I hate talking about it. It pains me to talk about it. So, Tank O'Neill, who's one of their breakout linebackers, he had a great performance last week against South Carolina State with 11 tackles. And he had 8 tackles against FAMU. So the last couple of games, I mean, he bowling. And he also had, both the defensive ends, Kawan Cox and Antonio Brown, they both had a couple tackles and a sack and a half each. So, you know, FAMU lost, North Carolina Central gets their 17th straight conference win. I'm not going to hate because I'm a Rattler. I'm not going to hate. I'm going to congratulate. But we do want to give our shine to North Carolina Central University for their 17th straight MEAC conference win. And so I hope that they keep racking up wins. I hope that they keep doing good. And I hope eventually FAMU comes back and win the MEAC because I'm a Rattler. And we strike and we strike and we strike again. You already know that. But, hey, shout out to North Carolina Central University. Salute to you. And I hope y'all have more success in the future. So, now, that's our HBCU spotlight. Now, I have HBCU news, right? And so, the first part of this HBCU news, it deals with the CIAA and its decision to reversed its decision on preventing visiting bands to perform at halftime. So, let me give you some information. The CIAA implemented a policy that would not allow the band of the visiting team to perform at halftime because the NCAA basically mandated that all divisions of football will start with a strict 20-minute halftime. And it's enforced this season. And if you know anything about HBCU football, halftime is showtime. So, it's going to go longer than 20 minutes. You know, halftime can be about 30, 45 minutes. You know, like I said, I'm a Rattler. And especially at homecoming, we expect the team to get that 15 yard flag at halftime. I mean, it's halftime. I mean, come on, man. NCAA tripping. I don't know. But that led to the CIAA saying that, and the CIAA is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. So the CIAA initially made a decision saying that they was not going to allow the visiting teams to perform at the band of the visiting team to perform at halftime. Of course, you know, they ruffled some feathers. So the commissioner of the CIAA, Jackie McWilliams, they had a conference call earlier in the week to discuss the matters. And basically came to the conclusion that they was going to reverse those decisions. But things do have to be tweaked and changed for halftime because 15-yard penalties will be handed out. Now, of course, you know, like I stated earlier, if you know anything about black college football, 15-yard penalties get handed out all the time as far as for the ban. People, the people on the football side don't like it, but it's a part of the tradition and the culture for the band to go out there and do their things. And then the band rivalry, that's a part of it. So I hope they work everything out, but just want to bring some light to that, because that do affect HBCU football in the way the bands perform, how long they perform, how they prepare for their performance, but just the overall aura of the game. That's HBCU football. We get down. Like, the band go out there and the band shuts it down at halftime, both bands. And if you have, like, FAMU and VCU, you can't have FAMU and VCU not bring their bands. Like, you can't have that Sonic Boom band not show up. Come on, man. You can't have these legendary bands like Southern and Grambling and Jackson State and Tuskegee. You know, you cannot have these bands not show up. So, hopefully, let's hope that the CIAA and all the other athletic associations and things get everything worked out with these bands, so halftime can continue being showtime, and the teams won't be penalized, and everybody can move forward and have a happy time in, you know, black college football. All right, so second part of my HBCU news is not necessarily something that's great, and this is me not trying to put Buddy out, but do want to drop a little nugget on this. So the athletic director of Morehouse was robbed at gunpoint by a woman that he met on Craigslist. So Andre Patillo was robbed at gunpoint, like I said, by a woman he met on Craigslist. They say the robbery was reported to having occurred on September 19th. So, Patillo sent an Uber driver to pick up the woman that he met off Craigslist, and he in Fayette County, Georgia. So, he sent the Uber to pick the woman up. She came to his house. You know, they said to share a few drinks, but, you know, we all know what was going down. So, when the woman was in his home, as they did what they did, chilling out, whatever, you know, I don't know. I guess he had her spending the night or something. I have no idea. She was going to stay there for an extended amount of time. But he was slipping the whole way. First of all, he brought her to his crib. Man, you can't do that, man. You can't bring no back page, no Craigslist, no online woman to your house. That's first of all. Then he went to go lay down in his bed. He trying to go take a nap and go to sleep. Like, he completely let his guard down. Like, he was trusting this woman. But on his way to lay down, or when he was laying down, he noticed that his front door was open. So he questioned her about his front door being open, and she said that, oh, I must have forgot to close it after I went out. And so he went back to his bed, and not long after he was laying down, a male who was a companion of the woman came in the room, pointed the gun at him, and they began to rob him. So, according to the reports, the female came into the room talking about, baby, I'm sorry, I didn't need money for my kids, while the dude was flashing the gun in his face and had the dude held up. So for some reason, I guess they not good thieves or whatever. So the guy got distracted about what was going on, and Patillo was able to escape, and he had to basically run down the street in his drawers. And they saying he ran up to the 600th block of the Lee's Mill Road, and he eventually reached a house where he was able to call 911 and get the Fayette County Sheriff's to come and, you know, sit down and explain what happened in the back of the sheriff's car, in his drawers, talking about what happened. Now, one reason I'm talking about this, because a lot of our men do get caught up in these sex scandals, and I understand what it is, not trying to chastise nobody or whatever, but also being careful about what we're doing, how we're doing, when we're doing. If he's a single man and he like having sex, hey man, me personally, I'm not going to condemn nobody for wanting to have some sex. If you're single, If he married and he got a family and all that, that's a whole nother subject. But if he's a single man and he want to have some sex, that's cool. Not going to condemn him from wanting to have some sex. And if he got the means to pay for it, he got the means to pay for it. Ain't no judgment my way here that just can't get caught slipping. Just, you can't be trusting. You can't be letting your guard down and trusting people like that because you want to have some sex with them. And being in the position that you are in, being an athletic director, you have to be extra careful about the things that you do in any position that you're in. But, you know, this is the story that hit the wire. They caught him slipping, even though they themselves were slipping, the two robbers.
Oh, shoot.
Excuse me, but that's what happened. So, Petillo, man, I hope you learned a little bit from this. I ain't saying don't mess with no chick. Just, man, you know, get you a little sugar baby. Get you a little, get you something that you can handle on a regular basis, or get married. That's a better option. If you're not married, get married. If you are married, you need to go to counseling, get some stuff together, and y'all need to work it out. Y'all decide to stay together. If you don't, I hope you learned your lesson. But you can't get caught slipping. And, you know, my approach to this is not, like I say, not to jump down nobody's throat. Because, not to say he's a womanizer and all those things. I don't know nobody like that. But it's just certain things you do is how you do certain things you do and understanding where you are at certain things. Because, really, they couldn't wait to put him on the wire. They couldn't wait to blast him and put the story out. You know, so for me to be talking about it, that means his story got put all the way out on the wire. So we just got to be careful, better careful about what we doing, how we doing, when we doing. And also when we coming across stories like these, not trying to jump down our people's throats, but being more of a supporting role, being more of a role of, hey man, you know, if you need some help, you want some healing, man, we here for you. Not to point fingers and jump down people's throat or try to act like we the most righteous in the room and things like that. So, you know, but just to give you a little HBCU news here on The Fix, because we want to talk about it all. So, but it's the way you talk about it. Now, while we still own scandals, and while we're talking about what's going on and things surrounding sex, so college basketball is set ablaze this past year, and the University of Louisville and their coach Rick Pitino is right in the middle of what's going on. They are basically the headlines of what's going on. Basically, college basketball teams doing what college programs have been doing for the longest, doing whatever they need to do to get players to come play for their school. And somehow, this time, the FBI got involved. So FBI investigation is happening right now. And like I say, Coach Rick Pitino and Louisville, they right in the middle of it. So Rick Pitino was put on unpaid administrative leave last week after the investigation started. Nobody has any real evidence on anything that's going on with Pitino. We don't know if he's involved. We don't know the level of involvement, his level of knowledge of involvement, all these things here. We do know that Pitino got a history of being caught up in scandals. So he was put on unpaid administrative leave. And reportedly Friday, Louisville upgraded their assistant coach David Padgett and named him the interim head coach for the upcoming season. So they're talking about the recruiting scandals that not only rocked Louisville but rocked the NCAA, because a whole lot of other schools, coaches, athletic directors, and people who are all involved in this. So the FBI said it's been running a 2-year investigation into bribery, fraud, and corruption into NCAA basketball. So, I mean, a whole lot of sex has been brought, a whole lot of money has been paid, because these winning programs, let's just be real, come on, man, we know what it is. These winning programs have been paying players to play. That's what's been happening. They've been paying players to play. And I partly, on the players' end, I really don't blame players for taking money for paying, because me, the NCAA, is one of the biggest pimps systematic pimp systems going on out there where they can get all this talent, make billions of dollars, because the NCAA is a billion-dollar machine. But they tell these players that they can't make money off of their likeness and their names. Hey, man, I don't really have no sympathy for the NCAA. I do, however, have sympathy for the kids who are affected by the things that's going on. That's why I think rules need to be changed. Things need to be changed. The people, us the people, we need to force change and stop acting like we don't have power when we do. We don't have to make our kids accept these athletic scholarships. We can have our kids be better prepared academically to take these academic scholarships that will give them more freedom while they play sports. But anyway, there are 10 people connected to two separate but related schemes and have been charged and arrested. Four of them are college basketball assistant coaches. One assistant coach has been fired, and the other three have been indefinitely suspended, and some of them without pay. The investigation, which is not over, centers on college recruiting, which has long been tainted by those willing to break the rules at all costs in an effort to get the best high school players. So, of course we know that, right? So, here, this is a list of the schools that have been impacted by the investigation. So, start with Louisville. Like I say, Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino was put on unpaid leave by the university, which means he has been, in effect, quote-unquote, fired, according to his attorney. CBS Sports' Gary Parrish wrote that Pitino left Louisville with no choice but to fire him after his involvement in a past recruiting scandal, but Pitino plans to fight the charges. Also affected Louisville athletic director Tom Jurich was put on paid leave and will have his employment status reviewed by the University of Louisville Board of Trustees. With Pitino on leave, like I said, assistant coach David Pageant, a former Louisville player, was named acting head coach. Alabama is also affected. Kobe Baker, a men's basketball administrator, resigned after athletic director Greg Byrne initiated an internal review of its men's basketball program in response to the scandal. Miami, University of Miami, the president of the University of Miami acknowledged that the basketball program is subject to an ongoing FBI investigation. University of Auburn, assistant coach Chuck Pearson, a former NBA player and Auburn alum, was accused of handling a total of $141,000, and Pearson was suspended without pay. Coach Bruce Pearl, Bruce Pearl, who used to get in trouble all the time at the University of Tennessee, he's not in the report. I don't know why they talked about him. The program has already been impacted by losing a high-profile recruit and offering to give refunds to season ticket holders. Arizona assistant coach Emmanuel Book Richardson is accused of paying a player identified only as Player 5 $5,000 in bribe money to sign with the Wildcats. He has been suspended with pay. University of Southern California assistant coach Tony Bland is charged with conspiracy to commit bribery, soliciting a bribe, and wire fraud. Bland has been charged with providing $9,000 cash payments to females of two current USC players and has been suspended. Oklahoma State University assistant coach Lamont Evans is accused of receiving at least $22,000 in bribe money to exert his influence over certain student athletes, not only at Oklahoma State, but at South Carolina, where he was also an assistant before leaving for Oklahoma State University. He has been fired by Oklahoma State, too, Lamont Evans. South Carolina messed around with Lamont Evans is under trouble. basically, other individuals that are named to be impacted is Jim Gatto, director of Adidas Global Sports Marketing, accused of paying families of two high-profile recruits to play for Adidas-affiliated schools. One of those schools is Louisville. Money exchanged with the two families was $100,000 and $150,000, according to the FBI. Merle Code recently left Nike for Adidas, a right-hand man for Gatto involved in many of these exchanges, according to the complaint. So Merle Code is also in the scandal, working with Adidas. Christian Dawkins, former NBA agent, recently fired from ASM Sports. Booker, who organized the deals between the assistant coaches and Gatto. He was caught on the wire saying, if you're going to fund those kind of guys, I mean, we'd be running college basketball. Jonathan Brad Augustine, president of the league initiative, director of an Adidas sponsor program, helped funnel and hide money through that youth basketball program, also involved and connected to the recruitment of an identified 2018 player who was being courted by a number of high-profile schools. Munish Saad, a financial advisor, along with Dawkins, the U.S. Attorney's Office alleges he was a power broker in helping move approximately $250,000 to families of high school basketball players with the help of Gatto. And Rashawn Michelle, representative of Thompson Best Pope Clothing, and a former NCAA referee involved mostly intensely in dealing with Pearson at Auburn. So all this is going on. So the FBI is involved in all of this. So we're going to try to act like we didn't know. Like, what was funny, because like I said, we're going to try to act like we didn't know this was going on. Dick Vitale, come on, man. I don't feel sorry for him because he's acting like he's just totally ignorant. So the reason why I say that, Dick Vitale is so upset about this. He sounded like he was wanting to cry about this, the tone of his voice, like he just wanted to cry about what was going on with these scandals. Man, they've been paying players for the longest. Hell, they made a goddamn movie called Blue Chips about this stuff way back in the 90s with Shaq and Penny, man. Come on, man. We know that these schools are paying players. What the NCAA need to do is allow these players the right to earn money off their own likeness and abilities. Stop trying to... you are enslaving these players. That's what the NCAA is doing. They're enslaving these players. These college athletes cannot earn. They'd be starving. They cannot eat. They can barely survive with the means that they're given. And the old school mentality, which I hate, is, well, you know, that's a great exchange. They get to go to school and they get to play football. No, like, you don't get it. The school is making literally millions of dollars. The NCAA is making billions of dollars off these players. What else is it like? And it's not, this is America. You mean to tell me you're going to remove my right to earn, but at the same time, us as the parents, especially black parents, we put our kids in these positions. We put our kids in these positions where we take away, where we have them sign these contracts, because these contracts, these scholarships are contracts, and these contracts basically are our kids signing over that rights to earn. We have to find new systems, because on the other end, we need to be creating our own black leagues, our own professional black leagues, but in the preliminary and in the amateur status, we need to be putting our players in a position where they can actually earn, and our athletes in a position where they can earn off their likeness and their abilities. Like I said, the NCAA is so messed up. Like, you don't have to be a part of the NCAA. Like, they need us. They need the black players. They need the talent. We have to find a better way to be organized and tactical about how we go about placing our children into sports and just allowing our kids to build their dreams off of the hopes of sports and stop making sports the end. Sports is a means to an end. Sports is a tool. Sports is not the final frontier. The NFL is not the final frontier. And I got words for the NFL a little later. But the NFL, the MLB, the NCAA, the NBA, all these professional leagues are not the final frontier for our black athletes. They are means to an end. And we have to start looking at it strategically. Stop forcing our children. We have to stop acting like athletics is the only way out of poverty when you got a damn brain in your head. Parents, cultivate the genius in your children. Cultivate your child's brains. Cultivate their mental abilities. Like our children are brilliant. Our children are definitely brilliant. Academically, our children can dominate just as much as they can athletically. We see the stories. You see it all the time. Once a month, a story about some 14 to 16-year-old black student graduating from college and high school in the same year. Shit. Let's stop setting our children up. And the people who are going to suffer worse from these scandals are the black players, the black athletes who get caught up in these scandals. So, I mean, no, just letting you know what happened, but, hey, man, still my rant still stays the same. We have to think different about our approaches when it comes to getting ourselves out of poverty, because at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to, us escaping poverty. And we seem to only confine ourselves to certain lanes, and athletics is one of those lanes that we confine ourselves to, but we don't even really understand how to navigate the system. We have no idea how to help our young children, our young black athletes, navigate these athletic systems. Then they get into these worlds, which are mostly predominantly white worlds, and then our children have no choice. Well, most of them, because they're not grounded, so they lose themselves. They lose themselves in touch of their blackness. They lose touch of them, of who they are, where they come from, and then they try to assimilate. And then trying to assimilate because they're trying to maintain this level of success that they had, because they already know that the bitter taste of poverty that they had in their mouth, they don't want to go back to. But we need to stop associating poverty with blackness. Like my dad says it all the time, and that's not something I'm going to embrace. My dad says, son, like my granny said, we always been poor, and we always going to be poor. Hell no, daddy. Hell no. No. These impoverished mindsets that we collect and we pass down from generation to generation. And that's, to me, that's why we glamorize the negativity within black culture and try to make that cool. And if you don't do this, then you're not black. Look, athletics is cool, but we don't need athletics to become successful. We don't have to have athletics. We got brains. We have brains. We are the most intelligent people on this damn earth. Don't you forget it. Don't you? I'm tired of y'all talking about how smart Asians and all these. Nah, man. Us African people, black people in the United States and globally are the most brilliant people on this planet. Don't you let nobody else tell you that. Athletics is a means to a goddamn end. It is not the only way that we can get our, especially a good number of our young men, out of poverty. Nope. You won't convince me of that. But anywho, man, I just want to talk about that, because that's the first thing that came to my mind with this scandal is, how is this scandal going to affect the black players? How is this scandal going to affect the black coaches? What are the results of the black coaches versus the white coaches? How would the black coaches be handled, be talked about? What would happen to their jobs? Will they be able to get jobs again? We know Rick Pitino pretty much is out of a job forever. If he keep getting caught up, like they say, the man with nine lives finally ran out of his lives. So, well, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. All right, but while we're on basketball, moving on. While we're on basketball, Dwayne Wade, more than reportedly, he is now a part of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, they say he officially joined the Cavaliers with a one-year contract. So it's a one-year, $2.3 million deal. It was finalized shortly after Dwayne Wade cleared waivers, a necessary step following his buyout agreement struck with the Chicago Bulls over the weekend. So he got a buyout, so he got money on both ends. And this became official on Wednesday. There's no better place to be right now to continue to play and compete at the highest level. That was a statement by Dwayne Wade. That was posted on his social media account. Cleveland believes in my talents and what I can bring to a championship contender, both as a player and a leader. I look forward to reuniting and playing alongside my brother, LeBron No Age James, who, now he didn't say that, I just said it. I threw that no edge part in. We've already won two championships together, and I hope we get a third. James said he feels like a kid having Wade with him again. He says, and I'm reading some quotes now. Come on, man. This is like one of my best friends. I'm exaggerating, too. This is what James, this is a quote by LeBron James. Come on, man. This is one of my best friends. This is, it's kind of what he said. What else he said? It's kind of like when you start school and you walk into the classroom and you're not quite sure who your classmates are. And when you walk in there and one of your best friends are in there and you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good class. I feel you, Brian. Hey, if anybody feel you, LeBron, I had an elementary school flashback and a high school and a middle school flashback. I ain't going to lie, because when you walk into that classroom that next year, especially if you're young, you ain't really talked to your homeboy, none of your homeboys that year before. And then you walk into that classroom and you see, like, my homeboy Sam Dixon. That's how I was, my homeboy Sam Dixon, my homeboy Caleb, right? Like, we was in elementary school. We walk in there. Like fourth grade, Miss Ramsey class. I know I'm all off topic, but hell, y'all finna get this story, so you better sit back, because hell, he made me have a flashback. So fourth grade at Pineview Elementary School, I walked into Miss Ramsey class, and I seen Caleb and Sam was like, ah, shit. And then we had my homeboy Nevin in the class too. Oh, but hey, man, look, fourth grade was live, man. And then, our homeboy Yubon from Korea, he was in class too. Man, fourth grade was live. I ain't sorry about my flashback. Y'all gonna get these flashbacks. You better get ready for it. So that's the feeling he got. I just had that flashback. So Dwayne Wade, 12-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA champion. And they say he chose Cleveland over Miami or Oklahoma City. I'm sure he probably wouldn't have gone back to Miami. Oklahoma City would have been a good fit for him, that'd have been cool for him to be in Oklahoma, especially if they still got Carmelo. And then San Antonio was an option. So to me, this cements Cleveland as the contender coming out of the East. Nobody else is going to be better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Boston Celtics, I think they lost more than they gained. They're gonna see, like, not having Jay Crowder and some of those other players. They're gonna see that kind of hurt. Now Gordon Hayward, I forgot that Gordon Hayward played for the Boston Celtics. I did. I have been forgetting about Gordon Hayward playing for the Boston Celtics, but I mean, we're gonna see, you know, what Hayward did. You know, Hayward was able to, you know, get to the playoffs in the West and stuff with the Jazz. But I don't know, man. I just don't think the Celtics gonna really be that contender. I think the Celtics lost too much on defense. Hayward and Kyrie not necessarily defensive minded players like that. So Cleveland get Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Derrick Rose, Jeff Green, Jose Calderon, plus Dwayne Wade. And, they still have J.R. Smith. And J.R. know how I feel about him sometimes. Let me make this clip. I ain't got no beef with J.R. It's just J.R. be acting stupid, so you got to call him out sometimes. I ain't got no beef with J.R. But, you know, J.R. got Kevin Love. You still got Tristan Thompson. Cleveland got pieces. Cleveland got pieces. I expect Cleveland to come out the East. I'm kind of excited to get down on some NBA watching this shit. I'm kind of excited to see what happens in the NBA. Who challenges San Antonio? Man, the only thing about the NBA is we know the parity. Who's coming out of the East? Cleveland. Who's coming out of the West? Probably Golden State. But we know that Golden State has competition in San Antonio, in Oklahoma City, in Houston. So we do know that. The Clippers, that shit done. That's done. Portland, we're going to see what Portland do. Portland always pretend like they might want to be a contender, so we're going to see what that happens, but that's the West. And the East is hot garbage, especially with Carmelo leaving the East, then Dwayne Wade coming to play with LeBron. So Jimmy Butler, Chicago is out there with Jimmy Butler by itself. Then you got Boston, like I said. You got Washington. Washington has pieces. But, yeah, that's about it. That's about it, Milwaukee. But outside of Cleveland, Washington, and Boston, yeah. The NBA got too much parity on that end, so that's something I don't like. But, you know, still interested to see what goes on in the NBA this year. And still interested to see if the Golden State Warriors truly do defend their championship and go on to be champions again, or will, you know, they be defeated? I thought Cleveland was good enough to beat them last year. But when I started watching the games, when watching the finals, you saw that Cleveland lacked the intensity that they had previous years. And that I was disappointed in. But that's why I'm excited about Jay Crowder and D. Wade, defensive-minded players. That Jay Crowder, you know, that they defense wins championships. So having Jay Crowder, who can be a bully, having J.R. Smith, who can be a bully. Even Dwayne Wade could be that tertiary bully that you could need. D. Wade ain't no punk, and you know he'll get physical with folk if you need. Then you know the freight train, aka LeBron James, coming down the middle. So I think Cleveland could really rough some teams up this year and impose their will defensively, hitting them threes, but having that mix of that inside out game. I've heard some reports about Cleveland reportedly mixing up their lineup, probably experimenting with Love at the five. So that I would think if Love was at the five, then LeBron would go to the three. I mean, LeBron would go to the four, because they were saying that Love would go to the five and Thompson would come off the bench, from some of the reports that I read and I saw. But we will see, and I keep you updated on that, give you more information. But that's gonna be cool. And I think we get to rectify some of these arguments talking about Kevin Durant being better than LeBron. No, Kevin Durant. The only time Kevin Durant will be better than LeBron James is when LeBron James is not in the NBA, or if LeBron James is just totally on his last leg. Kevin Durant gets people start talking about that because of his performances in the playoffs this year. Now, Kevin Durant also is on the team where he can, he didn't have to carry the load. LeBron James carried the load for Cleveland. Kevin Durant didn't have to carry the load. And Kevin Durant has already shown us that when he has to carry the load, he comes up short. So let's stop trying to prematurely crown Kevin Durant as the best player in the league. I gave y'all my time. I still don't think Kevin Durant is, I don't think he's better than Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's better than Draymond Green. Overall, if we're talking about overall basketball game, offense, defense, rebounding, passing, assist, all these things, Kevin Durant is a lethal scorer. He's a lethal scorer. He's, if not the best, one of the best scorers in the league. Lethal scorer. But when we talk about being the best player, we're talking about all phases of the game. And LeBron James, as far as well-rounded, is a better player. Russell Westbrook, as far as well-rounded, is a better player. Now, where Russell Westbrook come up short is Russell has a problem closing the deal. To me, he get too emotionally unstable, and he can't close the deal. He has to learn how to make the players on his team better. Kevin Durant, we don't know if he can make the players on his team better. Kevin Durant came into a situation where the players on his team were already better, and they already had a mentality of we're going to make each other better. So, I mean, that's just my take on that argument about Kevin Durant being better than LeBron James. So. But Dwayne Wade is officially a Cleveland Cavalier. And, of course, Now, you already know I got to give you my WNBA update. So, like I told you last week, that WNBA Finals has started, and the Los Angeles Sparks right now are leading the series 2-1. There's a game today. Game 4 is today. So, me, being a Minnesota Lynx fan, I'm hoping that the Lynx can tie the series. So, Game 3, I told y'all about Neko Gumake. Told you she was a baller, and she put up a double-double with 16 points and 10 rebounds to help the Spark get that Game 3 victory. Odyssey Sims chipped in with 16 points. Chelsea Gray had 14 points, and Candace Parker had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. Hey, Candace Parker is a baller. Now, on the other hand, Maya Moore, she didn't have a good first half, so she had 16 points all in the second half. Sylvia Fowles, she had 15 points, 11 boards. Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus, they did not score. And that was a big reason why the Lynx lost, because Simone Augustus and Lindsey Whalen have to score. Now, Simone Augustus and Lindsey Whalen are too good not to score. But there's something about that L.A. Sparks team, that the L.A. Sparks team just matches up so well with the Minnesota Lynx. Because I guess before this Sparks team really got the gelling and adjusted to where they are, the Lynx were killing people. But this Sparks team, it's something about this damn Sparks team and the way they're constructing their players. Elena Beard playing that defense, Neko Gumake, Candace Parker, Chelsea Gray, Odyssey Sims. I mean, they got a squad. Don't get it twisted. The Sparks has a squad, but it's like both teams have squads. Like, both of these teams have squads. This is the WNBA, well, the NBA with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors is trying to keep up with this WNBA as far as parity, as far as these teams continue to meet in the finals, because the Sparks and the Lynx basically are the Warriors and the Cavs of the WNBA, or you can say the Warriors and the Cavs are the Sparks and the Lynx of the NBA. And that's why, I mean, it's amazing to see these two teams with the level of talent that they have on their teams. They're not just like everyday running the mill, these girls who just came up off some pickup game. We talk about some of the best basketball players in the world, and who most of these players, if not all of these players, when they were in college, were the best players. And now they're on these teams as a collective force, and their individual rights on the individual teams, putting their egos to the side and like really going in and like really giving it their all. And this is great basketball. So Game 4 is tonight. Make sure y'all catch it. I'm sure it'll be on ESPN. So check it out. I mean, WNBA, man. I get excited. Y'all hear me talk about it everywhere. I get excited to talk about WNBA basketball, because it's good basketball, and I just think more of us need to be checking it out and supporting it. So that's my WNBA report for y'all. So now, this is going to be my tune-up to my weekly rant. Fuck you, NFL. Yeah, fuck you, NFL. So you mean to tell me the NFL, the players, the owners, the coaches, administrators, general managers, all you people, especially if you're black, most of my rants are going to go toward this black community. Because it's not our job to get the white community together. It's our job to get our community together. So, these teams and these players and their reaction to Donald Trump calling the players sons of bitches and telling people not to watch the NFL. So, all these various teams, the Dallas Cowboys, Jacksonville Jaguars, all these different teams, Green Bay Packers, doing their displays of unity, taking knees, locking arms. All of this is bull, because nobody's talking about the real issues. Nobody is still concentrating on why Colin Kaepernick initially took a seat. Not the knee, but the seat. Because he took a seat first. He didn't take a knee first. The narrative, well, his stance was softened after he had that conversation with that punk-ass Marine dude. See, let me say this before I get deep into this, why I say NFL is full of shit and these players, the black people who represent the NFL. Let me say this. You do not have to soften your stance to make people feel good about your protest. What's the purpose of protesting if you're trying to please people? That's not a protest. That's a political move to get positioning. To soften your stance for other people is a problem, right? You should not be softening your stance to make other people feel good in the midst of protest. Protests are designed to make people feel uncomfortable. Protests are designed to shake up the status quo, to get people rattled, to get heads turned, to get people on their feet. And that's one of the main things I'm critical about with Colin Kaepernick. Is I think Colin Kaepernick on some ends is trying to make people happy and not trying to get everybody upset, even though everybody's upset. Because, like I said, I forgot that Marine's name, but that Marine is full of shit. And this is not about his personal feelings. It's not about anybody who's in any branch of the military's personal feelings. This is about the unjust killing of unarmed black men and women here in America. This is what this is about. And we are still not talking about this. We are not concentrating on this. The narrative has been hijacked. And the NFL and their actions this past week shows furthermore evidence of this narrative or the original intent of Cap taking a seat. It has been hijacked, it has been overlooked, has been overshadowed, has been demanaged, and nobody but Shannon Sharp is talking about the original intent of Colin Kaepernick taking a seat. The NFL and its players and its coaches, owners, their displays this past Sunday, it was sickening. It was disingenuous, it was disheartening, it was straight bull, and y'all can keep it. The black community does not accept that bull. We are not in a position or in a mold, in a mindset, and we will not take you all's goddamn moral victories. You can keep your moral victories. This has nothing to do with showing unity or justice or anything in this league. And I'm so sick and tired of you all going back to the Constitution, those great founding fathers. And look, the Constitution was written during slavery. People who wrote the Constitution owned and participated in slavery and the oppression of African people and the indigenous people to the lands of the United States. Don't sit here and tell me about no constitutional stuff and this flag and all these things here. The Constitution may give us the right to speak freely, but the Constitution was written with the intent of only having white men in mind and white people. Black people were enslaved during the Constitution when it was written. All of this freedom stuff, the great hypocrisy of all of this that is going down, and we feed into it, the great hypocrisy. Think about that. Think about the hypocrisy behind that when you were sitting down inscribing words of freedom and liberty while you yourself enslave others. You use the black bodies, the black enslaved bodies, for your own personal liberation. And then you try to get us to buy into these fake notions of liberty. It's all bull. Do not fall for that, folks. Do not fall for that stuff there. The NFL is full of it, and I'm not sure. I'm sure Kaepernick is trying to make a change, but Kaepernick's actions have not truly brought attention to the unjust killing of unarmed black men and women. And the reason I say that is if we have to continue to fight to get people to pay attention to the original narrative, then that is a great indication that people are not more aware of what's going on. People are more aware of they don't give a damn about what's going on. And that's the truth about what's happening in our society. America is as racist as it has ever been. I don't understand why people think America has ever been a great place for African people, for indigenous people. It has never been a great place. The conditions now are better than they've ever been, and hell, it ain't good now. Think about that. Y'all trying to act like in 1700 stuff was good, or in 1892 stuff was good, or in 1942 stuff was good. America has never been a great place. As long as America has been under European colonial rule and domination and white supremacy, it has never been a great place. Matter of fact, any place on this earth that is under European rule and domination has never been a great place. It has been, think about it, we're saying European rule and domination. Europeans are destructive. White supremacists are destructive. And their main goal is to maintain white supremacy at all costs. They will vote against their own interests. They will go against their own interests to maintain white supremacy because they own code. And we got to get right. We got to get right, and we got to stop falling for this stuff. We're using sports as an outlet, but we're not taking care of real life. That's one of my biggest issues with using sports and all these other things as escape, as methods to escape the reality. You're trying to escape the reality that you yourself are not trying to fix. Why are you trying to escape something that you're not trying to fix? If you fix it, your ass ain't got to escape it. We could do something different. But the NFL is full of it. LeSean McCoy is full of it. But I'm gonna get more into that, because this is going straight into my weekly rant. So I'm in my weekly rant now, damn it. I think I done ran it. I done went into it. This is my weekly rant. But really, Colin Kaepernick's actions truly have not brought more attention to the unjust killing of unarmed black men and women. What it has done is provided more distractions so we don't have to talk about that, and more distractions for us to look away and act like it doesn't happen. To me, that's what has happened. And not saying that Kaepernick's original intent was hijacked, because for one man doesn't have the ability to control the narrative. There's no ability to control the narrative. Hell, it could at least, like, if there was a vehicle to control the narrative, that would have helped. But because there's no vehicle to control that narrative, we brought more attention to the distractions and everything else, more to the flag. Like, we've learned more about the Star Spangled Banner than anything, but we're still not talking about black people being killed. We're talking more about Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharp and Donald Trump and the flag and the military. We're still not talking about black people being unjustly killed by police officers. And police officers are not only getting away, but they're getting paid, because white people are donating money to their GoFundMe accounts. White people support their people when they do wrong. Black people, we have a hard time supporting our people when they're doing right. So, into my weekly rants, as I'm already ranting. The first thing in my weekly rant that I want to cover is the bull that we keep getting fed by about how sports is a tool or how sports truly, sports is a tool, but how sports truly unites different groups of people. I played sports all my life. I played football, baseball, and basketball, what else? I played all those competitively throughout, you know, from elementary school throughout high school, college, intramural, all these things. And I played with all different types of people. Sports has a way of bringing people together who want to be brought together. Sports has a way of putting many different people from many different backgrounds in an arena, and all of these people are rooting because they have a common interest. But once that common interest is not at the forefront of these people's minds, people go back to giving a damn about what they give a damn about. And most likely it's not about the plight and issues of what goes on in Black America. Relationships between Black people and white people are nothing new. Now, to some of you, because you may not be familiar with the information, you may think that all of these things are new. But there's truly nothing new under the sun. But Black people and white people had favorable relationships during slavery, before slavery, during European colonization. Not on a mass scale, but you found individuals who could become friends. So these certain individuals who could become friends that coexist, that's how you have abolitionists and all the other white people who worked on the Underground Railroad, but that did not stop racism or white supremacy or oppression. So sports has the ability to bring different people together from different backgrounds and different realms who have this common interest in either rooting for this team or playing for this team. But after that common interest is gone, what's the physical, what's the bonding thing that they have? What's the common thing that they have that would keep them rolling together? Now, not all athletes, but a good number of athletes don't really, especially white athletes, white male athletes, they don't really give a damn what happens in these Black lives. And remember, most of these white players, white athletes, commentators, analysis, just white people, period, white supremacists especially, but white people, period, they don't necessarily like Black people like that, per se. They like the image. They like the culture, the coolness, the results, the things that Black people bring to the table, not necessarily Black people. Hey, you're cool, but you're still a Black person, so I don't really trust you, but hey, you're really cool. You can dance, you can jump, you can sing, you can run fast, you can catch balls and all these things, because if you can't do that, they don't give a damn about you. Y'all act like white people are out here just kumbaya-ing with regular Black people. We don't see that. We don't see that. If white people are genuinely true about being friendly and helpful and all these things to Black people, you would do it to everyday Black people. I wouldn't have to be an athlete. I wouldn't have to be famous. I wouldn't have to be somebody who's in the spotlight or somebody who has the notoriety. You would help just everyday Black people because you gave a damn. And there are some white people who do that. But for the most part, that don't happen. And y'all keep giving us these smoke screens and things, and that don't happen like that. It really don't happen like that. So we got to stop with these with the lies about how sports truly unites people. Sports has the ability to unite people who want to be united. The key component in that is want. People have to want to be united. You can wipe away, you can take away sports, and if people want to be united with other people, they will go out and do it. It's almost like we're trying to force people to do things, and we're trying to force relationships on Black people when we already know Black people have no real allies. We already know we have no real allies as far as groups, whole groups of people. You may have individuals who represent these groups, but whole groups, we have no allies. We don't. So sports has the ability. Sports is a tool that can, but it doesn't, because if sports was that unifying tool, we would be better united, and we're not. Race relations haven't really improved that much. The image of race relations have improved. The propaganda and the narratives around them have changed. Not necessarily improved, but changed. But race relations have not necessarily truly improved. And we can see that by the things that happen. Just seeing the report the other day, three white boys lured this Black guy somewhere and killed him. Like, white people are still killing Black people with impunity. White people are still, white supremacists, I should say, are still murdering and taking out black people because they have a genetic, they have a fear of genetic annihilation, and we are the greatest threat to their fear of genetic annihilation, and they will do anything to survive. Survival of the fittest mindset. So we have to really see this from a real point of view. Start looking at this from a tactical point of view, from a militaristic point of view, and stop with these kumbaya mindsets. Kumbaya can happen after black people have been able to successfully self-actualize on our own terms. Groups of people keep asking us to come together and kumbaya with them who've had the ability to self-actualize on their own terms. Allow black America the ability to self-actualize, but damn it, we're gonna take our chance to self-actualize on our own terms before we go to kumbaya with y'all other people. And that's all I got to say about that. Now, Dez Bryant, Ray Lewis, LeSean McCoy, black NFL players, coaches, representatives, all y'all full of shit. You, especially the ones who said that I would never take a knee. Ray Lewis was on two knees, and Ray Lewis said that he was praying. The Baltimore Ravens, their players, the team took a knee because of, you know, to show unity against Trump, not for what's going on in the black people. And Ray Lewis specifically said that he would never take a knee or protest for the unjust killing of black people in America, especially on that stage. Ray Lewis just forgot he's black. Like, he's really forgotten he's black. Like, I don't understand how the institution of the NFL is more important than black lives when Ray Lewis, like, they already gave you you got your Negro wake-up call before, and you still are on it. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Ray Lewis, like, you should be excommunicated from the black community. Now, I don't think that, Ray Lewis should not be getting death threats. Ray Lewis hasn't done anything that malicious to be getting death threats. So all y'all who giving Ray Lewis death threats, stop it. All y'all who have this petition going around that's at 50,000 signatures now to have Ray Lewis's statue removed from outside of Baltimore Stadium, stop it. Stop it. Just don't allow Ray Lewis the ability to do whatever he's trying to do in your communities. But Ray Lewis earned that statue through football, through his football career and his efforts on the football field. And when we were all cheering for Ray Lewis as a football player, because we all know that you love to watch Ray Lewis run up and down and hit somebody on that football field, myself included. So we're not going to act like that. I tell the truth. We don't throw people under the bus. We tell the truth on the fix. And we call you out when you're bullying. But I don't think Ray needs to be demonized in that way. Our community needs to start excommunicating Ray. Ray Lewis needs to be boycotted. Ray Lewis needs to be boycotted. Ray Lewis should not be able to have any dealings or any kind of tread or anything within the black community. Now, also, with his dealings with children in the black community, youth programs, I have at hand right now, I have no information to really go in on the effectiveness or the results of his program, so I'm not going to comment. And I'm not going to say Ray Lewis does not need to be working with the youth, but I will say that I would not allow Ray Lewis to work with my youth with that mindset, because I wouldn't want my youth to be brainwashed into thinking that we really have to kiss white butt like he's doing. Like, Ray Lewis is so far up white people's butt, it's ridiculous. And Ray Lewis it's shameful. It's embarrassing. The manner at which Ray Lewis is going so hard for white people. And then not only that, but trying to play both sides. Ray Lewis is trying to be the hero on both sides. He's trying to keep black people happy and keep white people happy. He's trying to appease everybody, and you can't trust somebody who's trying to appease everybody. Ray Lewis just wants to be the hero. He just wants to be seen in the good light. And Ray Lewis doesn't understand that in order to get effective change, real change for oppressed people, somebody got to be uncomfortable. And Steve Bisciotti, he seemed like, who he loves, the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, who, I mean, I don't understand why these players act like they owe the league. The league owed them. The NFL would be nothing without black players. These teams would be nothing without black players. So, you know, Ray Lewis said that he would never get down on his knees and protest. So as the team were on their knees, protesting, so to say, or bullshit protesting. Ray Lewis is on two knees, and he said that he was praying. Ray, you're full of it. I mean, you're full of it. Even LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, he was very critical about Colin Kaepernick and his actions. LeSean McCoy said that Colin Kaepernick is not good enough for the distraction, and he should be on teams. Basically, that's what LeSean McCoy basically said. And LeSean McCoy found himself stretching during the national anthem and all these things. Even the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones said his team wouldn't do it. So, and Jerry, they took a knee before the anthem and then stood up for the anthem. It's all a lot of bullshit. It's all a lot of bullshit that's going on. The Pittsburgh Steelers behind Mike Tomlin and all them, they didn't come out the tunnel. They had the one white dude who came out the tunnel and all these things. But it's like, why, for the black people, for the black players, black coaches, why are the words of Donald Trump more stinging to you? Why do the words of Donald Trump attacking the NFL get you more riled up than the killing, the unjust killing of your people? Why are you more reacting to the words of Donald Trump attacking the NFL? Mike Tomlin, I'm asking you, Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm asking you, as a black man in this country, who black people look up to, because you really haven't done anything for us to demonize you, but your actions lately in this manner, like, I don't get it. Our black men are not, we're lacking real strong black men. And Mike Tomlin, I'm questioning you, man, because how are you more upset about what Trump said than the killing of your own people? How? Other black men around the NFL, how are you more upset about what Donald Trump has said about the NFL when Donald Trump has said worse things about people, period? You've got Donald Trump on tape talking and making fun of disabled people. Like, you all can't be serious. Donald Trump inciting and encouraging the violence in Charlottesville, where black people were beaten by the white people out there, by the white supremacists, even though the black people shouldn't have had their ass out there. But still, the NFL players said nothing, did nothing. But now you are compelled to take a stand. You all are full of shit. You're full of it, and you have shown yourself to where you truly are in the black community, and we can see that we lack allies. The black community lack allies. And it's sad. It's sad. You guys lift all those weights and have all that strength. You have all that physical strength, but no real strength. But no real strength to take a stand against the injustices of your people. It's so disappointing. I am thoroughly, this is my weekly disappointment. I am thoroughly disappointed in every black, well, not every black player, all the black, Michael Jenkins, the Bennett brothers, at least Richard Sherman was talking. So all the black players who've been taking the stand, this does not apply to you. If you are a black NFL player and you've been taking the stand since last year, this does not apply to you. But all you newcomers, this applies to you. I'm thoroughly disappointed. The black community is thoroughly disappointed. We do not accept your actions. We do not accept that. And I am speaking on the behalf of the black community. You guys are under watch. For right now, we're looking at you as agents of white supremacy. And we have to do it like that because we're 400 years behind and we don't have time to play with y'all. And you all have shown yourselves to not be true allies in the black community. You are not true men. Your manhood is in question. Your blackness is in question. All of that is in question. And the last part of this is going to go to Desmond Aldarius Brain. And I don't know if Aldarius is his real name, but hell, I'm going to call him Desmond Aldarius Brain. In a series of Instagram posts last Sunday, Brain gave his insight into the views on racism in America. These are the words of Des Bryant, and I quote, First and foremost, I would like to say I do a great job of minding my own business, but it's pressing on my heart to share my thoughts about white America, white Americans and black Americans, parentheses, racism. I saw a person quote Charles Barkley when he said, "We as black people, we're never going to be successful, not because of you white people, but because of other black people." I hate to admit it, but I understand that quote. I've been racially profiled on numerous occasions, but not once has it influenced an ill feeling inside me about anyone outside of that issue. Real slavery is different from what's going on in our world now. We all, every ethnicity, have had the opportunity to lead by example. Instead of making videos about the history of racism that get applause or people get influenced, or people with influence merely doing things to post for social media, we should focus on individual accountability to be better as a whole. I recently ran into a guy I grew up with who spent his adulthood dealing drugs. While we're catching up, he shared with me that he wished that he chose a different and better path. He said seeing my success was inspiring and that it changed him to do better with his life. Real question, what's wrong with being sophisticated and black? Why do we associate those who choose the straight and narrow as not being black enough? Why is it that I was one of the first examples of success to my friend? We focus hard on fighting the realities that exist instead of creating our own reality. That's a dumbass statement right there in itself. The ones who came for us, and this is what it said, the ones who came for us, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, paved a new path for us. The struggles and hurt they endured created a new life for us today. It's not our job to carry the burden, but it's our job to lead by example. Not that my opinions matter, just sharing my thoughts. All right. And I'm going to deconstruct this from bottom up. Dez Bryant, shut the hell up if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Do not speak on matters of race in America if you don't know what you're talking about. Because for you to say that we should not focus on what's wrong and only focus on creating our own realities. Well, don't you think Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Malcolm X, they are three examples of people who focused on what was wrong and took actions, but also had personal accountability. But Dez Bryant, what does personal accountability have to do with racial injustices in America? What personal accountability are you asking Tamir Rice to take? What, not play with toy guns outside? So did Dez Bryant never play with toy guns? We're saying black children should be more accountable and not play with toy guns outside because what? What's your reasoning? So we should be more accountable for being black, or we should be more accountable for being oppressed? Should we be more accountable for being racially profiled? Should we be more accountable? What should we be more accountable for? Because nobody's saying that black people don't have our issues amongst ourselves. We do. But why aren't we asking white people to be more accountable for their actions when we know white people commit more crimes than black people? You can go to the crime statistics, to the Federal Bureau, to the Department of Justice and see that. White people commit more crimes in America than black people, but nobody ever asked white people to be more accountable for their actions. So, also, when you were quoting Charles Barkley, that shows that you're a damn idiot. So, everybody who's anybody knows that Charles Barkley can barely put a sentence together, especially not talk about racism in America. If Charles Barkley is talking about anything other than basketball, you tune him out. He's saying, what's wrong with being sophisticated and black? Let me ask you something, Dez Bryant. How does fighting for racial justice, what does that have to do with being sophisticated? How is black people fighting for the right to be alive in America? What does that have to do with personal accountability and racial and being sophisticated? Where does black people being uncouth have to do with anything in these situations? Are you suggesting that all black people have criminal behavior? Because we know you have criminal behavior, Dez Bryant. We know you do. Yours is documented. We know about your behavior and your transgressions and your issues with your past. And now you think that you've matured. And the reason nobody can answer the question about why your friend, you are the first successful person your friend So maybe your friends should concentrate on more personal accountability. But what you're missing here, Dez, is you're taking individual cases of people that you've encountered and you're painting a broad picture on black people in America. So let's do that for you. Let's say if we own all NFL players are immature, and it will take them a long time to mature to be model citizens, and they will never feel their fullest potential as an athlete. Because I'm basing that off of you, Dez Bryant, because you still haven't fulfilled your best potential as a wide receiver. You have not lived up to wearing that 88 as an NFL player. And as a citizen, you have thoroughly disappointed your community and your family and your people with your actions, especially your latest rhetoric. This is not mature of you. You're showing how immature you are as a black man, as a man, and you're showing how ignorant you are on race relations in America. You are continually trying to blame the victims. How does black people saying, hey, we're being unjustly killed by police officers and we're going to take a stand and do something about it, how does that lead to us not being accountable for our own actions? Why does Dylan Roof go into a church, kill 9 people, and don't get harmed by the police and get taken to Burger King? How does that happen? So where's the personal accountability? Why come nobody asked white people to be accountable for their actions? When are we going to ask bad police officers to be accountable for their actions? When are we going to ask so-called good police officers to be more accountable for holding the bad police officers accountable? When are we going to call our whole so-called good white people more accountable for their so-called actions of being good white people and not holding the racist white people to the fire? When are we going to get to those? See, you keep asking the people who are the most affected by these actions to be more accountable. So you're saying, if I'm fully compliant, I have to learn, I have to fight to be more compliant. I don't have to be extra docile for my rights to not be violated. And I keep going back to you. The reason why black people's rights are being violated because black people are not viewed as full citizens in this country. Black people are not viewed in the same light, in the same vein as white people in this country. Black people are still not seen as regular human beings as white people are in this country. And our lives and our livelihoods are not respected by the white supremacists and other groups of people in this country. Black people have no allies. Other groups of people are full of shit, too, when it comes to saying that they're allies to black people, because we've never seen other groups of people en masse really come to really aid black people. Really aid all. Look at how these other groups of people line up to rape the resources in Africa. Look at all these groups line up to shit on black people in America. You can keep your sign holding and all these things. We need real action. If you're not going to give black people in this country real action, you can kiss our ass. Dez Bryant, you are a damn fool, and I can't wait till you get your Negro wake-up call. You're going to get your Negro wake-up call from these white people, and it's going to be funny, because you have to learn that trying to appease white people and throwing black people under the bus is not the way to deal with race relations, to victimize the victims of race relations. If we were talking about rape, and if Dez, you would not hear Dez Bryant come out and say that some women put themselves in the position to be raped. You won't hear him say that. You won't hear him say that. But Dez Bryant will come out and say, basically, black people need to be more accountable for their actions, and black people put themselves in positions to be discriminated against and to be racially profiled against. And, like, discriminate, like, for real? For real, right? For real, Dez Bryant? But you showed your ignorance and your level of immaturity when it comes to being a man, a black person, history, and just what's going on in the world. Our people have lost touch on reality, and it's time to get snapped back. And see, that's why the fix exists. That's why the fix exists. Hey, man, remember, you can catch me. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeWard84. The fix is on iTunes and Google Play. You can subscribe. We're on YouTube, Chester Freedom Train Network. our YouTube channel, like I say, like the Freedom Train Network's Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like I said, once again, Joe Ward 84 is my Twitter handle for the fix. So you can holler at me, ask me questions. You want some things you want me to talk about, just let me know. We're here at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You know, this is the realest and the blackest sports show that you have ever heard, and we're going to keep it real. We ain't going to throw nobody under the bus because we live by a code. But, hey, we got to do what we got to do. Stay black, stay proud, and be your greatest self. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been.